19 there in just a moment. Amen. Are you glad you saved? Have y'all still been rejoicing in what the Lord did around here on Sunday? Amen. Don't forget what the Lord done for us just a few days ago. And He sure met with us on the Lord's Day, and I have been telling everybody about it that I've talked to, how good God was settling in among us. And then Sunday night, give us a little word from the Lord. And I just tell you, God is so good to us. Amen. Pray He'll do the same tonight. John 14, I'm just going to read our one verse, and I want to get right in. I've got, chapter 19 through chapter 31 to preach out of Exodus tonight. Amen. Don't that make you feel good on a tired Wednesday night? But I'm going to be real quick about it, Brother David, real quick. I'm not going verse by verse. Somebody say amen right there. John 14, 21, this is Jesus speaking, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And so it's not enough that we just say that we love God. There are some stipulations that Christ puts upon our life as to the evidence of our love for the Savior. And so he said, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. And here's our phrase, and will manifest myself to him. Look with me in Exodus 19. I'm going to jump around, so be ready to turn. I want you to see these verses, and hopefully they will make sense here before we get done in the next little while. All right? Exodus 19, verse 3, and Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. Notice the phrase, Moses went up unto God. Look with me in verse number 20. The Bible said, and the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount. Notice this phrase, and Moses went up. If you look over into the next chapter, Exodus 20 is one of those well-known chapters. Yes, we're on now, all right? And so after the Lord gives them these Ten Commandments, as we know them by, he said in verse 18, and all the people saw the thunderings and lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. They said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. Verse 21, and the people stood afar off. Watch it now. And Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. Now look over a few more chapters. Chapter 24, and I'll pick up my reading in verse number. Let's see. 15. The Bible said, and Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount, and the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. The seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. The sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel, and Moses went into the midst of the cloud, and got him up into the mount, and Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. All right, you can be seated. Let's pray one more time. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening, in that lovely blood-stained name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We understand tonight we're nothing, and Lord, we've not merited anything from our God. Lord, we don't come to you as though you owe us anything. You have been far, far better to us than we deserve. And as we was reminded in this very place on last Sunday morning, Lord, we are blessed beyond measure from the hand of our God. So we're not coming tonight, Lord, as those that, Lord, would think that you owe us anything, but we come tonight desiring of you and needing of you some things only you can do for us. As we gather around these scriptures and the thoughts you've laid upon our heart for these days, Lord, I pray that they would stir our heart and challenge our lives. I'm begging you this evening, Lord, help us, Lord, to focus in, Lord, on the truths that you have for us tonight. May we understand, Lord, may we understand that it is possible to live our life in a manifestation of the presence of our Savior and of our God. And I pray, Lord, our hearts would be stirred in that, and that, Lord, as a result of that, our spiritual lives would be revived, and that, Lord, we would be all that you've saved us and called us to be in these days. If there's somebody here tonight that has never been saved, I pray the Word of God would do a work in their life, show them their need, show them the absence of Jesus in their life, the absence of a relationship, a real personal relationship with God. And may you call them unto yourself tonight, and may they be able to leave tonight, Lord, with their heart cleansed, their life saved, and their hands uplifted, saying, oh, what a Savior is mine. And we'll thank you, Lord, for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We've been giving you some thoughts centered around what Jesus has given and promised in John 14 about not only the fact that he had manifested himself to his disciples and to that generation in which he was born, but in giving them insight on the fact that he's going to die, be buried, raised again, and ultimately ascend back to his heavenly Father. He promises that he is still going in a very spiritual way, but a very real and personal way, to those that love him, that have his commandments, keep them, and are saved, and are of the family of God. He says, I will manifest myself unto him. So the Bible speaks of God's presence in many ways. We've said that the Bible references his heavenly presence, that is the presence in heaven where God is always at. The heaven, the Bible said, he has made his throne. And it's there in his heavenly presence. We look to heaven. We pray to heaven. We desire and set our affection on things above, because that is where the heavenly presence of our God is at. And so many references we could run about that tonight, that is where God is at. That is where his presence is. It is in heaven. And then the Bible speaks of his omnipresence. That just simply means that God is not just manifest in heaven, that his heavenly presence, but that God is in heaven and on earth. It is that the Lord is everywhere at all times in every place, and he is always there. There's nowhere you can go that God is not at. He abides in every place, and we're thankful for the omnipresence of God. He can be here tonight meeting with us, and he can be down the road, 20 miles down the road, meeting with another church. He can be in a jungle in Africa somewhere and ministering and exhibiting his presence there in lands that you and I will never see, never step foot on. God is there right now at his God's, what we call his omnipresence. And then there is his abiding presence. This is what we receive the very moment we get saved. The Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in Christ all the Godhead dwells in us bodily. And we call that his abiding presence. That is the promise he made. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You get that the very moment you get saved. God's presence comes into your life, into your heart. We have worded it that way throughout times, but the fact of the matter, He dwells within. And we're thankful for His abiding presence. But here Christ enlightens us, reveals to us, and teaches to us something about what He calls His manifest presence. I will manifest myself to Him. This called Judas, not Iscariot. This called his attention, and he asked the question, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And so here is a promise that God's people ought to be interested in, and that we know not only that the Lord has a heavenly presence, an omnipresence, an abiding presence, but that Christ desires to impart to us a manifestation of His presence, something special, something that though we know doctrinally, we know on the authority of the Word of God, we know by faith that the Lord is always in us. He's always in heaven. He's always in every place. But let's be honest, are there times you feel like God is far away? Are there times where you feel like the Lord is not as near maybe today as He was yesterday? And this is, I believe, what the Lord has in mind, that He wants us to experience His manifest presence where we know the Lord is near. And let's be honest, sometimes it feels like He's a million miles down the road. But I can also say tonight, in light of that, there have been times He has been manifest so near to me that I could almost, watch it now, I could almost reach out and touch Him. Do you know what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about Oral Roberts, spooky dooky stuff. Amen. Seeing a 900-foot tall Jesus down at the end of your bed in the midnight hour. There's a lot of things wrong with that. Amen. A lot of things wrong with that. One preacher said one thing wrong with that. Amen. My God's far, far bigger than that. Amen. Somebody help me tonight. We're not talking about visions, and we're not talking about dreams, and we're not talking about bodily revelations, but we're talking about a spiritual manifestation where Christ is so near and real and manifesting Himself in such a personal way to us that it is even more real than what a bodily revelation could be. That is what Jesus is promising to you and I. And so we've embarked on some studies. I'm just calling them devotions. You can call them whatever you want. God has let me break loose and preach a little bit each and every week, but we're dealing with just, I will manifest myself. And in the text, we've seen the hindrances. Well, I don't want to bog down. We've seen the hindrances and some relationships that we've got to make sure that we're right in, and so we're not hindered from the Lord being able to manifest Himself and experience and enjoy that when that the Lord chooses to manifest Himself. Then out of the text, we found some expectancies. And there are some promises, some things that we can absolutely expect and that are guaranteed to you and I, that when the Lord manifests Himself, if we'll be in line, we've not got the hindrances, that when the Lord begins to let us enjoy His manifestation, there are some promises that you and I can enjoy. I'm not even going to list them. Go back, listen to it again, or see me after service. I'll give you the outline. But what we've embarked upon now is enlarging outside of the text of John 14. And we're looking at not only hindrances and expectancies, but what about instances? What about instances? What about some illustrations where the Lord has manifest Himself in the way in which He is promising to do to you and I? And we could draw many instances from many lives. The Lord has been revealing Himself to His children since the beginning of time. Even going into the Garden of Eden, we understand that the voice of the Lord God would come down into the garden in the cool of the day, and God would walk with and manifest himself would walk with Adam and with Eve. And so God has from the beginning of time and from creation has desired to manifest himself to his children. Sin put a barrier. Sin put a hedge up that messed all of that up as far as man's side is concerned. And so we lost out, or there was a barrier that was created, but that did not change the heart of God. And we'll see that again tonight in his desire to manifest himself to the children of men, that they might know his manifest presence. And so what do we find? We find that the Lord manifested himself to Abel. We find that God manifested himself there to Noah. We find that he manifested himself on many occasions to Abraham. And I almost took the life of Abraham to illustrate the instances of God manifesting himself. It's amazing when you study Abraham's life. The Lord God appeared unto Abram. The Lord God appeared unto Abram again. And over you find the Lord manifesting himself to Abraham. What about Jacob? God manifests, and we did a whole series several years back on God in the life of Jacob. How many places and stops in Jacob's life did he have an encounter with a manifestation of God in his life? And we could go on and on. David and on and on. The children of Israel, those young men carried away into Babylonian captivity, how God manifested himself in the fiery furnace and in the den of lions, and on we could go. Instances that we could look at, even in the Old Testament, of the Lord Jesus and of the Lord manifesting himself in a unique and a real and a personal way. Where the Lord has settled our heart is the life of Moses. The life of Moses is where we're drawing our instances. We looked at the first instance, the beginning instance, on last week in Exodus chapter number 3 in the story of the Lord manifesting himself to Moses, it was by what we know, Brother Jeremy, as the burning bush. Moses is in the wilderness. He's been running around in circles, tending to the sheep. And the Lord is out there near the Mount of God, Mount Horeb. And Brother Larry, there he sees a bush on fire that is not being consumed. And ultimately, it gains Moses' attention. And eventually he said, now I'll turn aside and see this thing. And there he had an encounter with the Lord. And what an encounter that it was. What an encounter that it was. An instance, and we learned four things last week in that initial instance of God manifesting himself to Moses in the wilderness. It was to call him to draw closer to God. That's always what a manifestation of the Lord will do. Anytime you even get near a manifestation of the Lord. Now, on Sunday morning, it was obvious. It was more real to some than others. But if you was in the service on Sunday morning, you know what that manifestation of the Lord was? It was a call for you and me, no matter where you were, no matter how real it was, what level of realness it was to you, it was a call to every one of us, draw nearer to God. And that's what a manifestation the Lord always does. Number two, it was to cleanse Moses from the contaminants of the world. Take off thy shoes, where on the ground whereon thou standest is holy ground. And so there was a cleansing involved. It was given to Moses to connect him to his spiritual heritage. And it was there he was reminded that this God manifesting himself to Moses was the God of his father and was the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. And so in that manifestation experience Moses had, it was connecting him to his spiritual heritage. And then ultimately it was to commission Moses that he might help someone else. And you'll be no help, no example, no benefit to anybody else's life spiritually until you learn what it is to experience and live in the manifest presence of the Lord. That's where you receive your power. That's where you receive your instruction. That's where you get the touch of God and the unction of God. And the evidence that God's power is on your life is when you live in the manifest presence of God. Everybody look up here. And when that happens, you won't have to wear a badge that says, I've been in the presence of God. You won't need a t-shirt made that says, you're that, all that. Amen. It will be evident in your life. Amen. And we'll see that in weeks to come, even from Moses, that when he come out of the presence of the Lord, amen, he did not have to announce it. He did not have to advertise it. He did not have to tell everybody, y'all, listen to what I got to tell you. I've been in the presence of the Lord. When he came down off the mountain, they said, the glory of God is upon the face and does shine upon the face of Moses. They knew that he had been in the presence of God. Have you ever got around somebody that you knew had been in the presence of the Lord? I have. Amen. And then I've been in the presence of some that was trying to tell me they'd been in the presence of God, and they knew nothing about the presence of God. And so it's where we get the evidence upon our life that we have a commission, we have a purpose, we have a will of God's will to live out in our lives. Now tonight, I said all that took me, amen, it took me 12 minutes to say all that to get to where we want to get tonight. And we have another instance. We call it instance number two, okay? And really, it's a progression of things in the verses that we've read tonight, beginning in Exodus chapter number 19. When we come to Exodus 19 and verse 3, where we began tonight, we understand that Moses has gone to Egypt. He has brought out the children of Israel out of bondage. They've made their way. They've crossed the Red Sea. They're on the wilderness side. They're on the exit side of Egypt's domain. And now they've come. They've been through a battle. In fact, in chapter number 18, you'll find the battle with Amalek has been experienced. Victory has been won. And so now they're enjoying some victory. They're enjoying some provision. They've been enjoying some blessing. And God has been proving himself, I'm going to take care of you. And now they come to this place that is known as Mount Sinai. At Mount Sinai, the Lord is going to begin, especially in Moses' life, he's going to begin to reveal that, Brother Jerry, there is more to experience by way of manifestation of God than you experience in chapter number 3. In fact, let me show you something. Ultimately, I want to get to chapter 24, but let me show you something the Lord showed me even this afternoon. It blew my mind. It blew my mind. I think this is where I want to get to. In Exodus 24, y'all remember in Exodus 3, what did God manifest himself in? A burning bush. Is that right? Now the Lord is manifesting himself ultimately where he's trying to get Moses at in this second instance of his life is to this mountain. Notice the Bible said the glory of the Lord, verse 16, abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days, and 7 day called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And so chapter number 3, manifestation of the Lord. Here's an instance, a burning bush. Instance number 2, it is a burning mountain. Is that right? And so we're seeing fire come up again. I thought about this, Brother Tim, in the first instance, when Moses encountered the manifestation of God, we find that first encounter, Moses came before the burning bush. He's in a manifestation of the Lord. The Lord's manifesting, and he only goes so far into that manifestation experience. But when you come to chapter number 24, Brother Mike, we find Moses does not come before the burning mountain. The Bible said he went into the burning mountain. And so you say, preacher, what are you saying? Oh boy, I'm telling you, the Lord has helped me with this.
When we think about this thing of I will manifest myself, you're never on this side of eternity going to go as far as you can go into this. I wrote it down this way, and I hope this makes sense, but it is progressive in its experience. It is progressive in its experience. You see, Moses could not have handled the experience of chapter number 24 and the season of life he was in chapter number 3. But chapter number 3, God was not going to leave him on the outside. No, he's bringing him along. He appears in a burning bush, and Moses, in that season of his life, all he can handle is standing before the burning bush. Amen. Amen. But now that he's got some victories under his belt, now that God has grown his faith, now that God has allowed him to experience some of the promises that he has made, Moses is now able not just to come before the burning mountain. He's able, my friend, to be consumed and to go deeper and further and higher and greater. And he's experiencing the progressiveness of enjoying and encountering the manifestation, the presence of God. Amen. You said, preacher, I don't know much about what you're preaching on and what Jesus had in mind. Amen. All you can know is what God will allow you to know. Amen. And when you get to the place you have a desire to experience a manifestation of God, amen, hear his voice and sense his presence and feel his touch and have an awareness that he's so near and close to you. And listen, he'll let you have that, but then there'll come a time later down the road he's going to bring you further into that, and then further into that, and then further into that. You say, well, when do you get to experience all of it? Amen. All of this is progressive and preparatory for you and I ultimately entering in the very presence of the Lord on heaven's yonder shore, where we will live in eternity, amen, before a very God that we can reach out and put our finger on. Amen, amen, and I believe tonight at this instance, number 2 in Moses' life, beginning in chapter 19 and verse number 3, I believe is where it begins, but the Lord is going to teach us through this instance, number 2 in Moses' life, that it is progressive, that chapter 3 will not suffice us, amen, the rest of the days of our life. You can experience more, you can go further, you can encounter greater experiences in this, and what a blessing that is. And so that ought to humble us a little bit, that no matter what you know about this, you still have not arrived. Amen. You say, boy, I have been with God. I have been in his manifest presence. But you have not reached the pinnacle yet. No matter where you are, you've not reached the pinnacle yet. If you're in chapter 3 or chapter 24 or chapter 33, we'll see in a few weeks, or chapter 34, we'll see in a few more weeks from that. The fact of the matter is there is always more progression for us to make in this experience or this part of our spiritual life. There's always more ground that we can attain. Amen. And I hope that's your desire tonight. And so let me run you through. I got 3 thoughts I want to give you over all these chapters, 19 through really 31. We'll just reference tonight. And so let me give you some steps and experiences Moses encountered in this second instance that he had of God manifesting himself more. That's kind of the thought, Brother Maurice, tonight. More, God manifesting himself more to this man, Moses. Number 1, in chapter number 19 and verses 20 through 25. I'll reference that tonight for the first thought. and that is the invitation into the manifest presence of God. There is an invitation that is alluded to, or that is to be pointed out. Notice with me in verse number 20, where the Bible said, "And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses," watch this now, "up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up." And so I see there is an invitation into the manifest presence of God. An invitation. You say, what do you mean? It is the Lord that initiated this experience in Moses' life. And he did it through a call. He did it through an invitation. He did it by reaching out to Moses. I believe there's something on the inside of Moses that thought, boy, I'd sure love to spend some time in the presence of God. He's already been in it. He's seen it. He's felt it. He has experienced it. It has made changes in his life already to this point. But now it is the Lord that comes by and comes down and meets Moses. And then there is an invitation. Moses, do you want more of the manifest presence of God? Well, come on up. Hey, man, if you're willing to step it up, I'm willing to let you in on it. I want to say thank God tonight for the invitations and the fact that it is the Lord that initiates the call, and that reveals to you and I tonight His desire is for us to experience His manifestation. He don't want to keep it from you. He wants to give it to you. He doesn't want you living outside of it. He wants you living in it. He doesn't want you living down there. He wants you living up there. Are you listening tonight? Amen. The Lord gives us an invitation. He made the promise in John 14:21, "I will manifest myself unto him." But he has a desire tonight. He has a desire. Amen. That's why. Amen. You say, preacher, are you sure of that? Here's what James said. He said, if you'll draw nigh unto God, God will draw nigh unto you. That tells me He is interested. He is interested. He has invited us. He is telling you and I, if you're willing spiritually to come upward, if you're willing spiritually to step it up, then the Lord is willing to allow you and I to have an experience in this encounter with a manifestation of Himself. I see the Lord in this invitation. I see the Lord's desire, but I see Moses' desire. When Moses heard the invitation, he did not tarry. He did not go the other way. Brother David, notice what our King James Bible said, and Moses went up. The call was to a higher ground. The call, the invitation into the manifest presence of God. It's invitation. It was an upward call, an upward direction being set in Moses' life. And Moses didn't dilly-dally around. Moses, my friend, did not say, well, I'll get around to that later on down the road. Oh, no, he was glad to leave the downward realm, the earthly realm, the wilderness realm. He was glad to leave that. And the Bible said, and Moses went up, which expresses a fact that Moses had a desire that was in line with God's desire. Do you have a desire for the manifestation of God's presence in your life? Because I promise you, this invitation tells me God has a desire for you and I to experience it. And Sambo, if you'll have a desire, when you hear God invite you into that realm and into that place, and I hope you know a little something about it. I hope if you don't know anything about it, the Spirit of God will put something in you tonight to say, I want to know about it. But if you'll have a little bit of desire in your life, the Lord will lead you upward and let you experience and respond rightly to the invitation to experience and encounter His manifest presence. Amen. So if we're going to go further, if we're going to have more of this manifestation, y'all understand, we're not talking about charismatic weirdo stuff. We're just talking about real spiritual discipline and life and enjoyment and relationship with the Lord Jesus. If we're going to have Him manifest Himself more, we got to understand the invitation in the manifest presence of God, and with a desire, respond to His invitation. So He does that. And so the Lord sends him to go back down and to speak to the people. And in doing so, chapter 20, God begins to speak. The giving of the Ten Commandments, there's thunderings and lightnings and the noise of trumpets that are blowing. There's smoke on the mountain, and the people see all the presence of God that is descending from heaven down, manifesting itself. And to the ones that were from the earth, and those that were downward and had not known the manifest presence of God, but Tim, they withdraw from that. They're afraid of that. And they began to stand back and even say to Moses, a man that had the evidence, he knew what all that was about. And they say, we'll listen to what you have to say, but please don't make us go any closer. You just tell us what God has to say, and we'll gladly do it, but let not God speak with us, they said, lest we die. And then the Bible said, and the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And so we see initially there is an invitation, but number two, I'll enlarge on it briefly, and I'll give you three and we're done. But notice the instruction in the manifest presence of God. They said, we don't want God speaking to us. You go up there, you get in His presence, and you just come back and you tell us what God has to say. Now, did God have anything to say? You better believe He had something to say. Amen. In fact, as the Lord is bringing him along now, He gave him an invitation. Moses went up. He's back down the people. Now He's going to go back. And this time, in this second instance, He's going to go a little bit further. What is He going to get? He's going to get instructions from God in the presence of God. When you began to study the end of this chapter, particularly chapter 21, 22, and 23, here's what you're going to find. Here are the instructions that Moses is given. I ain't got time to go through them all. I'll just lump them all together. Here is what the instructions were for or were about. Brother Mike, they were for separated godly living. When Moses, in this second instance, God is bringing him further, giving him more manifestation, it was accompanied with instructions for how to be a separated, godly people amongst a group of nations that were heathen and pagan. He's going to tell them, you can study it out. You can study it out when you get back. He's going to tell them what gods they're to stay away from. He's going to tell them how to treat one another. He's going to tell them what to wear. He's going to tell them a few things about how to eat. He's going to get all up in their business, amen, and instructing them on how He wants them to live. And I'm afraid this is why many folk only experience a certain portion of the Lord's manifest presence because they're not willing to be instructed by God in the way that God would have them to live when they get in His presence. It is going to, watch it now, it's going to change how you live. I know that ain't popular in this day. I'm just a Bible preacher. When I study it, here's what the Lord is saying. Moses, you're in my presence. You've come further than you've ever come. And if you want to go any further than you are right now, you're going to have to hear about what I expect out of your life and the way that you're supposed to live. Amen. And that will always be upward, higher, and more godly. God will never let you come into His manifest presence and pat you on the back about your carnality and worldly living and send you back down out of His presence to tell everybody you have come out of the presence of God. That's right. Again, we don't all get it on the same level. He leads us along. He instructs us along. I understand that. There's personal growth that is involved in this. But make no mistake about it. I think the spiritual point of these chapters and this instance in Moses' life is simply this. If you're going to get more of God's manifest presence, you're going to have to hear some instruction. You're going to have to receive some instruction. You're going to have to apply some instruction. And at the end of it all, listen, at the end of it all, your life is going to be more godly. Your life is going to be spiritually better. Your life is going to be more distinct in an ungodly world because those who have experienced the manifest presence of the Lord, they are changed among men. Amen. I know that's right. Instructions in the manifest presence of God. Let me give you this last thought and then we'll be done. So much more I could say. And a lot of sermons are coming down the road out of some of these studies that enlarge upon some of this. But notice with me now, so for three plus chapters, we find Moses, he's being led further. Now here's what the Bible said in verse number 1, chapter 24. And he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And if you'll back up, very interesting. This is kind of a side note, but it'll blend into where I want to get. You'll find that previous to this, God had said, Moses, you don't bring Aaron with you. You don't bring Nadab and Abihu with you. Don't bring the elders and do not let the congregation come. That was God's command earlier. Now, here's a man who has received some instruction, has gone further. And now the Lord said, well, go back down there and get them. Get Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and the elders and bring them. They can come. And interesting what Moses does when he gets there. Wonderful, beautiful picture of Calvary. Y'all do understand that when sin happened in the garden, God, there was a part of God's presence that said, stay away. He put the angel there at the east gate of the Garden of Eden, the flaming sword saying, keep out, stay away. Keep out, stay away. You're not welcome. You can't come. Moses, when he comes back down the mountain, you know what he does? The first thing he does, Jeremy, is he builds an altar. And Brother Mark, he goes and gets a sacrifice and he sheds some blood on that altar and offers that to God. And then after the blood was shed, hallelujah, those that God had said got to stay away, now they're allowed to approach near unto the presence of the Lord. Is that not what Jesus did? Amen. In the garden, God said, stay away. You've messed it up. You're not worthy. Judgment and fear and reverence did reign. But Jesus came. And at Calvary, he made an altar out of an old rugged cross, shed his blood, and opened up a way. And now the Lord said, those at one time were held out, now I want them to come. I want them to be near me. They're able to come. Why? Because of blood sacrifice. Was offered. Amen. I didn't mean get carried away there, but there's a message coming real soon on that. Amen. The blood says we can come. The blood, somebody said, well, God's angry with the wicked every day. And that's right. The Bible said that God is angry with the wicked every day. And every time he sees the blood of his dear son, he says to that same crowd, amen, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Amen, though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. I'm thankful that the blood made a way where there once was no way. Amen. That's good preaching even on a weary Wednesday night. Amen. And so Moses offers the blood and he gets these men. And the Bible said in verse 9, then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel. What about that? And there was under, what do they say? There was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone. And as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. Now we're talking about Jesus manifesting himself. I just want to say tonight, I believe that what they saw that day was an Old Testament appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ manifesting himself. Go read what John saw in Revelation chapter number 1. Don't do it right now. Do it when you get home. In Revelation chapter number 1, then, some amazing things. I think you can draw out of verse number 10 in relation to what John the Beloved had manifested to him. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. That's the Lord. He laid not his hand. And so here's these men. Hallelujah. They're getting their own little manifestation of the Lord. Notice what they did. And I'll be honest, I've wrestled with this. I've got to quit. We got to need to pray before we leave tonight. But I've been wrestling with this statement. The Bible said, also they saw God. Notice what they did and did eat and drink. Lucas, I've been wrestling with that. Every commentary that I've looked to references this as a positive. They saw the Lord, they ate and they drank. And I'm no theologian, Brother David, I'm not. But I've been looking at this as a negative thing. You know what eating and drinking is? It's casual. It's a casual response to something. The first time Moses saw the Lord in the burning bush, he turned aside to see, and there was something reverent in his heart about that experience. And obviously the Lord called out and moved upon his heart to take off his shoes because he was on holy ground. And Moses wasn't eating Doritos. In Exodus 3, the Bible said he fell down before the Lord. These guys see the Lord. They see this awesome sight and vision and manifestation of the Lord. And they respond by merely eating and drinking. Now, maybe it is positive, and there are some ways the commentators speak about it in a positive way, and it'll make for some good preaching maybe one day, but consider the fact maybe it's negative. Maybe they were being casual. You got to get this. I need to slow down. I need to get this out. Maybe they were being too casual with the manifest presence of God in their life. They didn't reverence it. They don't seem to be, they're amazed. They're wow. They're emotionally stirred, but they just simply sit down and eat and drink. Eating and drinking is often associated with casualness or the mundane or appeasing the flesh. Is that right? In the days of Noah, what did Jesus say? He said in those days of Noah, they were eating and drinking and giving in marriage. It was all about pleasure, self-satisfaction. You cannot enjoy the manifest presence of God if you're going to be casual about it or only be interested in self-satisfaction. Now here's why I think. Now y'all just ignore me if you don't agree. If you agree with all the commentators, Brother Tim, here's why I think it's a negative. Think forward. In fact, in 40 days, the congregation's going to come to Aaron, a man who the Bible said just saw God. And they're going to say, make us a God like the gods we served in Egypt. And Aaron's going to say, well, bring me all your ornaments and let's throw it in the fire. And he fashioned them a God like unto one of the gods of Egypt. Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron. We know later on in the wilderness wanderings, they're going to rise up and they're going to offer strange fire on the altar of God, and God is going to slay them for that action. I wonder, had Aaron and Nadab and Abihu, had they not just ate and drank and been casual about going further in a manifestation of God's presence, I wonder how different their histories and their lives would have been remembered. Do you take these Wednesday night studies the Lord has put on our heart to give to you? And I know I'm going a little long tonight, but it's all right. Are you taking them serious, or are they just, got to go eat and drink, preacher. I ain't had supper yet. Are you casual about what we're delivering, or do you take it serious? They, that is Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and the 70 elders of Israel, they saw God responding casually, eating and drinking. But what did Moses do? Moses went further. Moses said, guys, what y'all just saw is amazing. I've seen this before, but I am going further, and I'm going to stay longer in the presence of God than I ever had. And for 40 days and 40 nights, here's my third point, you'll see the inspiration of the manifest presence of God. These men respond in eating and drinking. What did Moses get in this time spent with God? You know what he got? Brother Larry, here's what he got. He got inspired. He received the inspired elements of what the most elaborate earthly worship that mankind had ever known and has ever known. He received that in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Amen. That's where God taught him how to worship. Amen. Boy, there's so much I want to say. I want to be sensitive. Why is it we can't hardly, and I understand, I know Sunday morning, boy, it was good. Was that not good? I wish we had one of them services about every 3 weeks would be fine with me. Just knowing God's there, right? Why is it we can't hardly even work people up in these days we're living? And don't get mad at me, but here's why. Because there ain't nobody gone no further than where they went a long time ago. And you lose your inspiration for worship when you do not know anything about a manifestation of God in your life. When you're only eating and drinking, you stop going further and you're satisfied with just seeing whatever measure of God you have seen, that is where your worship begins to fade out and die. But when Moses come back down off that mountain after 40 days in the manifest presence of God, Sam, you know what he come down with? He had two tables that God wrote with his own finger. Hallelujah. That had been given to him, he had received as his teaching on how to truly worship his God. Amen. I thought about this. He got taught up there in the manifest presence of God. He received inspiration. Amen. For how to rightly, elaborately, and sacrificially worship the Lord. Amen. And when you get casual, oh boy, when you get casual about the presence of the Lord, when you get casual about it, let me tell you what Brother Keith Vole said in a whole separate message the Lord's give him, and he's been preaching. Casual is how you first spell the word casualty. You stay casual, eating and drinking, whatever. You stay casual long enough, you'll turn into a casualty. I'm going to prove it to you. Chapter number 32, when Moses comes down, that same crowd that was casual, Brother A.L., that same crowd that was casual, a lot of them elders that just ate and drank and yawned when they saw the God of Israel, a lot of them, their lives were taken in chapter number 32. Go study. We'll look at it. I won't be here next Wednesday. I'll get it in a couple weeks, but I'm going to tell you something. You stay casual long enough, you'll turn into a casualty. What I'm trying to teach you, what Brother Wells said that sent, I'm talking about the fire of heaven burning in my bosom on this very subject. So I study the Word of God. When God showed me they ate and they drank. That's where our generation is on what we're trying to communicate. They're so casual, and that's why we have so many casualties, so little worship. Amen. What worship, I'm being honest about my own self, what little worship we do bring, it ain't elaborate. It ain't sacrificial. Amen. It's not very heartfelt. God help us to go more into the manifest presence of God. Get some inspiration. Learn what it is to really worship God.